ಸರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಸುಖಮುಖಾತಮೃತ ದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬತ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಂ ಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಸು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ದ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ದ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ದ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನಃ ಆಸೀತಃ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಾಕ್ಷು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ದ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನಃ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಷ್ಟಬಂಧನ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಕಥಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ತ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಷ್ಟಬಂಧನಃ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ಯಥಾದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ತ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನಃ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ ಯತಾಕ್ಷಶು ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧೇಃ ತತ್ವದೃಗ್ ತ್ವಷ್ಟಬಂಧನಃ ಆಸೀತ ಪರಮಂ ಯೋಗಂ ನ ದೇಹಂ ಬುಬುಧೇ ಗತಂ యతాక్షసు మనో బుద్ధిః తత్వద్ త్వష్టబంధనః ఆసీత పరమం యోగం న దేహం బుభుతే గతం యతాక్షసు మనో బుద్ధిః తత్వద్ త్వష్టబంధనః ఆసీత పరమం యోగం న దేహం బుభుతే గతం యథా కంట్రోల్ అక్ష సెన్సెస్ అసు ద లైఫ్ ఎయిర్ మనః ద మైండ్ బుద్ధిః ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ తత్వదృక్ వన్ హూ నోస్ ద తత్వస్ ద మెటీరియల్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎనర్జీస్ ద్వష్టబంధనః లిబరేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ బాండేజ్ ఆసీతః బీయింగ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ పరమం ద సుప్రీం యోగం అబ్జార్ప్షన్ ట్రాన్స్ నా నాట్ దేహం ద మెటీరియల్ బాడీ బుబుధే పర్సీవ్డ్ గతం లెఫ్ట్ Translation, please repeat. The Dichi Muni controlled his senses, life force, mind and intelligence and became absorbed in trance. Thus he cut all his material bonds. He could not perceive how his material body became separated from his self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 8.5, Antakale chamam yeva smaranmuktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. Whoever at the time of death quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this, there is no doubt. Of course, one must practice before one is overcome by death. But the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance thinking of Krishna. He does not feel his material body being separated from his soul. The soul is immediately transferred to the spiritual world. Tyaktya deham punarjanma na iti mami iti so Arjuna. The soul does not enter the womb of a material mother again, but is transferred back home, back to Godhead. This yoga, bhakti yoga, is the highest yoga system as explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api sarvesham madgater antanatmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam sameyukta tamomataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna and is therefore, at the time of death, can very easily transfer himself to Krishna Loka without even perceiving the pains of death. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tamsa Jeevam సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తత్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యః ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమా ఓం విష్ణు పాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవి గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. విష్ణుదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రశ్నాయ శ్రీమతి జయప్రాకస్వామి తామిని నమాచే బాబుని గౌరవంతారని ముఖం కృతి వాచలం పంతొమ్మిది కాయతికి కృపాదండి. శ్రీ గురు దేవతారణం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీ చైతన్య మిషన్ కథాంచన స్మృతి ఎస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేతి స్మృతి ప్రీతం సత్ శ్రీ చైతన్య నమామితం. దదీచి ముని కంట్రోల్ ఇస్ సెన్సెస్ లైఫ్ ఫోర్స్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ బికేమ్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ ట్రాన్స్. థస్ హీ కట్ ఆల్ హిస్ మెటీరియల్ బాండ్స్. He could not perceive how his material body became separated from his self. So we are in this pastime of Vritasura, where actually Indra has gone to Dadichi Muni and he's actually asking him, can you please die so that I can remain Indra? Give me this weapon, I have to make it out of your bones. Vishnu has asked you to die, I am not telling you, so please die. Okay. And then Dadichi tells him that this is not a joke, my dear. I'll just simply die like this. Do you know how much death pain causes? Or pain death causes, sorry. And then Indra gave him a whole logic of religious principles that why he should give up his body. And Dadichi, he has already given up his body in one sense. So it doesn't make any difference for him because it is said, రూప గోస్వామి ఇహయస్ హరేదాస్య కర్మణా మనసాగ్ర నిఖిలాశవ్యవస్థసు జీవన్ముక్తత్వదోచ్యతే. దట్ ఈస్ ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇస్ సింప్లీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ హిస్ లైఫ్ కంప్లీట్లీ విత్ బాడీ మైండ్ అండ్ వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ సర్వింగ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఇహయస్ హరేదాస్య కర్మణా మనసాగ్ర బై హిస్ యాక్షన్స్ బై హిస్ మైండ్ అండ్ బై హిస్ వర్డ్స్ దెన్ హీఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ కన్సిడర్డ్ లిబరేటెడ్ which means that he has nothing to do with his material body, even though he may have this material body. This is like having a shirt on. We have nothing to do with this shirt. We can just remove it whenever we want. So a devotee is like that. So Dadichi Muni was like that. So he was not greatly attached to his body. So he simply sat in yoga because that was his practice. He was a Yoga Mishra Bhakta. So that was his practice. He sat in yoga, he controlled his prana, he pulled his senses, and then he bundled everything in the false ego. It's all we saw that in the previous verse. And then he just exited out of the Brahmarandra. Just thup, went out. That's it. So that was very easy for him. He just went out. And this shloka actually describes that how he was able to cut his material bonds and go out. So that's the whole crux of practice in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada brings that in the purport, and then he says that the yogi, or the best among the yogis, is devotee. Therefore, for a devotee, death is like opening a door. Just like you open a door of a room and then enter, is not a big effort to take to open the door. It's not like very painful experience. You just open the door and enter. You don't even think about it. You don't think that, oh, I'm going to plan to open this door, I'm going to, you know, turn the handle, I'm going to pull the door towards me. The actions take place as if, you know, it's like a reflexive sequence. So for a devotee, death is also some kind of a reflexive sequence because he's just transferred from one body to another body. And Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter that he says that at the time of death, one has to change his body. He says that if one has to change his body, then why not enter from a material body to spiritual body, rather to enter from one material body to another material body. It doesn't make sense because really this material body is really a big problem. And we are experiencing this. And we are experiencing this from day one because we are born crying, because it's painful to be born and it's painful to die. So it's explained by Kapila Dev in third canto of Bhagavatam, that what the living entity prays, actually when he is actually jailed in the womb of his mother and he is going through so much difficulty because he has to be in a cramped situation and there are so many other things which are born with him. There are worms, there are different kind of microorganisms. They are actually biting him and he is actually crying in pain. And then he's saying that this business of getting into one womb and getting out of another womb is very bad. This is really a bad business. And I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do this. But why I'm doing this? Because I have been bound very tightly by the rope of Maya. En Maya yoru uruguna karmani bandhanesmin, he says. Uruguna karmani bandhanesmin. And I have been thrown into this samsara, samsarika paticharam sabhishramena. And once I am thrown in this samsara, what happens to me? Nashta smritihi punarayam pravrinita lokam. I have completely lost the remembrance of my true self. Nashta smritihi punarayam pravrinita lokam. Yukta kaya mahat anugraham mantarena. Unless there is mahat anugraha, unless there is anugraha, means unless there is mercy of devotees, unless there is mercy of the Supreme Lord, this nashta smriti, which means that this remembrance which is lost, this is not going to be regained. It's not going to be regained. So the whole process of human life is simply to get this connection back. The opportunity which is given by the human life is to get this connection back. This nashta smriti, the connection that I am the servant of Krishna, jivera surupohaya krishnera nitya dasa. This I am the servant of Krishna, I am the servant of Vaishnavas. This connection has to be established back. This is the whole purpose of human life. And when this connection is established back, then there is no question of dying. Then there is no question of dying. Death is always a mystery for many of us, and it was a mystery for me also, because I encountered death when I was very early, when I was very young. One of my grandmothers of my father, she was dying and we were there, and I was a very small child, maybe 5 years, 6 years, like this, and they told us that, no, you're not supposed to be here, please go away, because she was gasping for breath. And she was making this sound, gur, 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 like this, okay? So she was gasping for breath, then they know that she is going to die. So they told, okay, please go away, don't stay here. But I was very curious what's happening. I had never seen death. I don't know how it looks like. But I heard stories that some very bad looking people come and then, you know, they pull out and things like that. So I wanted to see who comes and what happens there. Okay? So I was hiding and I was watching what's happening there. So I saw that she was making grr 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 sound, and then suddenly the sound stopped. And then they really had camphor and tulsi water near her. So then immediately they showed camphor and then put some tulsi water in her mouth. And then I was thinking, what's happening here? Then of course we were royally thrown out, because they found that I was hiding and then they threw me out. Okay. So then the whole thing happened, and then they said they took her somewhere. She was like sleeping, and then they took her somewhere. We were told that we should not go there because ghost will catch us where they are going. So many different stories. So we didn't go there. Basically, we didn't go to the cremation ghat. But later, when I grew up, maybe after 2-3 years, one of my grandfathers died. So when he died, then that time we were grown up. So we became part of the ceremonies of the last ceremonies of death. So we were sitting and watching, and we were given, as the grandsons, we were given a very important duty, which is that we were given a stick which was bound with cloth which was soaked in ghee, and the stick, and they lighted fire. So we were holding this torch which is made of cloth and ghee. And then we were asked to go round the dead body. And we were going round the dead body holding this torch which was lying, it was lighted up with fire. And later I asked my grandfather, that the person who died was my grandfather's brother. So I asked my grandfather, why did we hold this fire? Why did we go round? Then my grandfather told me that the way he will go is very dark and is very fearful. So when you hold the light with the ghee lamp, then he gets some light to see. I was very fascinated. Where does this guy go? So that means he is going somewhere. I didn't ask my grandfather much about this whole experience because I was a little confused. I was thinking this guy is already there, the body is there, but they are saying he is going. So it is all very unclear what is happening at death. And then later I came through some experience of violent death. When one of my relatives, one lady, she actually burnt herself to death. That was also, I was there and I was the one, there were a lot of people running to her house and I was also running there as a small boy. And then they told me, don't see, and then they threw me out because it was a very horrible scene. And later I got to saw, it was a really horrible scene. So like this, I was seeing different people dying, and then I was just trying to make some sense out of this whole thing, that what does this mean? Why do people die? What happens to them? And then suddenly my mother died. I was about 22, 23 years old, and actually maybe 25. So at that time actually I was going to Middle East country for working, and before I could go, my father had multiple heart attack. So he was like bedridden, and the doctors had told that he will just last for 6 months. So we were kind of getting prepared that he is going to leave us, he is going to die. But in 2 years, my mother died and my father stayed on for 12 years. So much for the doctors. Anyway, I hope nobody is doctor here. Okay, so the point is that this actually shook me. Until the time I was actually thinking that this death is a process and we can control it and doctors can save people and, you know, medicine has its value and things like that. So when my father survived and when my mother died, I was really completely thrown out of balance. I was thinking, what's happening in this world? Why do doctors say things like this, that he will going to die in 6 months and then he stays on? I didn't know that he's going to stay on for 12 years. But he stayed on and my mother died. And we didn't expect that she's going to die. So the in kind of a whole world around us completely shattered. Because, you know, we are a simple Indian family and father and mother is almost like everything for us. So our whole world is made of father and mother and brothers. So my father was shattered, we were shattered, we don't know what to do. Till Prabhupada came into my life very mercifully. And some devotees called me, of course my Siksha Guru, he called me for a program. And then he said, come let us sit and read Bhagavad Gita. Of course, this has got nothing to do with my experience of death. We just went for a party and then he saw me there and then he said, why don't you come for Bhagavad Gita session? So I went to read Bhagavad Gita. And when we came to the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's really when I got all my answers. Oh, this is death. Okay, this is how it works. I knew that there is some soul. I knew that there's some things which are there and you know how it works and very vague system. I didn't know where it is going. I was thinking heaven is the highest destination and people are meant to go to heaven or maybe they will go to hell. Things like this. Normal Hindu belief. So Prabhupada came and clarified many things to me. Prabhupada came in my life. He changed my whole life. He actually showed me how to die. And he explained to me the process of dying, that how we should die. And very early on in my life in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's disappearance day came. And normally during that time, I'm still sure that the practice is going on till now. Our system was that we would congregate in a house and then in the evening time and then we would see Prabhupada's the final lesson video where he's actually passing away. So that was our we did that consistently for many years. So but that was the first time I saw that video of how Prabhupada left his body. I had before that read Leelamrita and I had a literal account of how he left his body. But then the visual impact of the whole thing was completely unexplainable. I saw this person who is going to die and still he was dictating Srimad Bhagavatam purports. I was thinking, wow, what kind of person he is. I was not fully into Krishna consciousness at that time. And that video had a huge impact on my consciousness. I was thinking that if at all I have to die, I should die like this. I didn't know that he is such a great personality at the time. I was just thinking that if at all I have to die, I have to die like this. So that gave me a completely different perspective of how to leave this body. Then as years went by, I learned more about how people died. I saw many devotees leaving their body, especially after I came to Mayapur. I saw so many different devotees leaving their body. I was in Vrindavan. I saw some devotees leaving their body in Vrindavan. Then I understood that this whole process is very beautiful. It's not fearsome. This whole process is beautiful. That finally we are going home. Enough with this life in this material world. We are done with this place. It's such a beautiful process that I can reach home. Many times I know that when I was studying in my college, I was away from home, and when I was also working out of country, I was also away from my home. So whenever I would travel home, it was a big relief for me. Finally, I am going home. So I started thinking that this is one home in one birth, out of the millions of births I might have had. And if going to that home can be so pleasurable, how pleasurable it can be to go back to our real home. So then I thought that yes, this is an experience we should wait for. We should wait for this experience. This is a celebration of human life. Death is a celebration of human life. So then, but then, this is also not such an easy celebration. Because we see that leaving this body is not so easy. Kunti Maharani says that Sneha Pasam Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She says Dridam, this Pasham is Dridam. Dridam means it's very deep. The attraction for the material body, the attraction for the relatives, the attraction for what we have. Atha Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittair. The attraction for all these things, the house, the relatives, the pets, the dogs, the cats, the cars, the motorbikes, the houses, land. It's not so easy. So that brings us to the focus that how to die. This is the whole point. How to die. Sometimes I had some friends who are practicing art of living. So I tell them that you are practicing art of living, but we are practicing art of dying. Because we want to die so that we don't have to be born again to practice art of living. So let's simply die one time and then have eternal life. So that brings us to focus that what should we do? And Prabhupada makes a very important statement in the purport as to what should we do. Prabhupada says that of course one must practice before one is overcome by death, but a perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance thinking of Krishna. So the whole point is to practice. It's not going to be automatic. The whole point is to practice. We have to practice. It's not that one day we will die and automatically we will wake up in Goloka. The process is not like that. The process depends on practice and mercy. The practice is not to gain qualification, the practice is to attract mercy. The practice is to show the Lord, the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, that I am crying for your mercy. The sincerity of the practice is the root for mercy. As long as the practice is not there, it's very difficult to say that the mercy will be there. Of course, Nectar of Devotion says so many things. If one takes Charanamrita one time, then he can go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada clarifies later that this is not absolute. And this is the experience of some people, but this is not absolute. He says that a devotee has to practice. That's why we are called as sadhakas. We are supposed to practice our practice, our Krishna consciousness, and practice our attachment to the holy name. Our process is not detachment. Our process is attachment. We are not Mayavadis. We don't say neti, 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 not this, not this, not this. We practice attachment to holy name. And attachment to holy name brings us detachment. So that is our actual test of our practice. That how much we are attached to the holy name, that much we should be detached from liking and hatred. Hatred is not detachment. One should clearly understand this. Hatred is simply another way of attachment. Because if you hate, then you are still processing things in your mind. So sometimes we think that if I hate, then I am detached. And then we say, I hate materialistic people. I hate materialistic practice. No, we are not supposed to hate materialistic people. We are simply supposed to be detached from them. We have nothing to do with them. We don't process them. Sometimes brahmacharis say, I hate women. This is crazy, because he will fall for women, because he is hating women. Brahmacharya means not to like women, not to hate women, having nothing to do with women. This is completely different from liking and hating women. We should not think because I am hating women, I am free from lust. If people hate women, they are completely lusty. Because Krishna says, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvanta Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samogam Sarge Yanti Parantapa. Most of the time I end up repeating this shloka in my classes, because this is such an important shloka. Because this is how rebirth takes place. Icha and Dvesha, they are equally responsible for rebirth. By having Icha and Dvesha, we cannot overcome death. This is not our practice. Our practice is not to hate. Our practice is to simply love the holy name. By the process of attachment to the spiritual master's instruction, by the process of attachment to the holy name, automatically we will get detached. We don't artificially detach ourselves. Our detachment is not artificial. We don't leave things. Things leave us. This is our process. And things should leave us. When I say we don't leave things, it automatically also means that we don't hold things. It doesn't mean that I don't leave things, I hold things. We don't hold materialistic desires, nor do we leave materialistic desires. We just don't pay attention to them. Krishna says, Apuryamanam achalat pratishtham samudram apa pravishyanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishyanti sarvesh shanti mapnoti na kama kami. The process of getting free from desires is not to kick them away. The process of getting free from desires is not to pay attention to them. And pay attention to the desire to get attached to the instruction of the spiritual master. This is how we become free of desires. Desires are going to be there. Temptation is going to be there. The process is not to fall for the temptation. That's what Nectar of Instruction, first shloka says. That one has to tolerate the temptations and one has to give up the plans for materialistic life. These are the essence of the first two shlokas of Nectar of Instruction. One has to tolerate the temptations. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jivva vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta dhiraha. One should become dhira in tolerating all these six kind of temptations. Along with that, one should not make plans for materialistic life. That's the second shloka. That one should completely give up the plans for materialistic life. So how to give up the plans for materialistic life? The way to give up plans for materialistic life is to become very focused on the instruction of the spiritual master. The spiritual master has given us few instructions. It's not too many instructions. When Ramanuja, he passed away, he gave about 30 odd instructions to his disciples. But in our sampradaya, we have very few instructions. We have about 4 instructions. That's it. We don't have more than that. We don't have 30 odd instructions. It's very easy for us to simply concentrate on those instructions. Trying to chant minimum 16 rounds without offense is the first instruction. Strictly following the 4 regulative principles is the second instruction. Helping the spiritual master to take forward Srila Prabhupada's mission is the third instruction. Only 3 instructions at the time of initiation, not even 4, only 3 instructions at the time of initiation. Simply we have to make these instructions our life and death. The moment we start mixing other things with these instructions, then death becomes a very painful process. What is regulative principle, what is not regulative principle is not decided by popular opinion. It is not decided by democratic process. What is sinful, what is not decided by democratic process or popular opinion. It is simply decided by Shastra. So one has to read Srila Prabhupada's purport to understand that what can be done and what cannot be done. And one should focus their life in such a way that those things can be done and whatever should not be done are avoided in our life. This is the way we can overcome death. This is the meaning of practice. This is the meaning of practice. That all the senses are simply engaged according to the instruction of the spiritual master. The senses are not engaged according to our whims and fancies. The senses are not processing what we like and what we hate. That is the process of getting attached to the holy name. So our progress towards overcoming death is a very simple thing. We have to simply see how much we are attached to the holy name, which means that how much we are detached from the process of liking and hating. How much we are attached to the instruction of the spiritual master, which means that how much we do not have our own ways of liking and hating things. How much we are able to get to this situation, that much we are sure that we are not going to be affected by death. That is called a perfect devotee. As long as attachment or hatred, I'm just adding hatred because that's also part of attachment. As long as attachment or hatred to one Rasagulla remains in our heart, we have to come back. But we have a simple process. The process of chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As long as we take up this process seriously, along with the instructions of the spiritual master, I am sure that all of us can hope against hope that we will be able to successfully overcome death. I'd like to stop here and then see if there are some comments, questions. Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a wonderful class. I just wanted to mention that when Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body, the doctor, the Kaviraj, said that he said that he was in so much, he was so amazed because he said any ordinary person, he would be screaming in pain. But Srila Prabhupada had no pain. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, So many devotees in Vrindavan, when they leave their body, they have no pain. So many devotees are dying from cancer, and usually a cancer patient has to take painkillers. But I've seen so many devotees, they have no pain, no painkillers. Just recently, Brahmananda left his body, and on his face, there was a smile. He was in ecstasy. Prabhupada must have come to take him. And I remember one devotee who left his body in Mayapur. His name was Nirguna Prabhu. He had cancer. And at the time of his passing, he had a Shila, a Govardhan Shila with him. So there was a very ecstatic kirtan. And he had not spoken for many, many days. He was just lying like a dead body. And this devotee was saying that he was a book distributor, and Srila Prabhupada had promised that any devotee who dedicates his life to book distribution, Lord Chaitanya will come and take him back to Godhead. So this devotee was watching, he was saying, I'm going to see, here's a book distributor, and I'm going to see if Lord Chaitanya comes and takes him back to Godhead. So he said that this kirtan, he went to Mangalarti and he said that Nirguna Prabhu is leaving his body now. Anybody who wants to come, please come for the kirtan. And he thought maybe 5-10 devotees will come. But he said 100 devotees came. And he said he never heard a kirtan like this in his entire life. This Nirguna Prabhu sat up and he was actually singing. Tears were flowing from his eyes. And he said, he's telling me, take the Shila and go. And the devotee asked him, who's telling you? He said, Mahaprabhu.
Haribol!
Mahaprabhu was telling me, take the Shila and go. He left his body in ecstasy, and afterwards they couldn't find that Govardhan Shila. He had taken it with him. So we can just count our blessings that because of Prabhupada's mercy, we can also, like it says in this purport, we can also leave the body without any problem. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. As you speak, Mataji, I also know that you yourself are an inspiration for all of us that how to leave the body. So Radha Kunda Mataji ki
jai.
I am waiting to take some lessons from you on how to leave the body.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Madhu.
You say we should not hate or like things. But if we know because of our imperfection that some situation is not favorable for our progress in spiritual life, is it okay to avoid the situation?
Of course, it's an injunction to avoid what is not favorable to Krishna consciousness. The process of surrender is anukulyasya sankalpam, pratikulyasya varjinam. These are the first two processes of surrender. That you accept what is favorable to Krishna consciousness and then you give up what is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. But you don't hate it. This is the whole problem. When you hate, like for example, one can give up meat eating, but one should not hate meat eating. Because if one hates meat eating, then he is simply processing it in his mind still. So which means he will come back and strike him again. That's the problem. Hatred means that you have not removed it from your mind. You are still processing it in your mind. I got nothing to do with meat eating. I just pushed it away from my life. That's it. So that is the process of avoiding. It's not hatred. Hatred means every time I'm actively thinking about it. I hate meat eating. I hate meat eating. I hate meat eating. So instead of chanting Hare Krishna, I am simply chanting I hate meat eating. So that what happens to us when we chant Hare Krishna, the mind is simply engaged in what we like and what we hate. This is what mind is doing. While the tongue is chanting Hare Krishna, Mind is simply engaged in what I like and what I hate. So that's the problem. That's the problem. That is what we should avoid. And the way to avoid that, because the whole process of devotional life is simply to get one pointed attention. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Vyasayatmika buddhi ekeha krunandana bahushakahi anantascha buddhayo avyasayana. Normally our default setting is that we have this bahushaka ananta buddhi, which is that it has many branches and it has multiple things to think about. But from that situation we have to simply come to the situation of Vyasayatmika buddhi, which is we have one pointed focused attention on the practice of Krishna consciousness. The tool to do that is the instruction of the spiritual master. That is Krishna's practical tool he gives us to do that. So simply if we concentrate on following the instruction of the spiritual master, then we can automatically avoid all other things, because the instruction of the spiritual master contains accepting what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and it contains avoiding or rejecting what is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. The package for surrender is there in the instruction of the spiritual master. So when we take it up seriously, then we can avoid this getting into this trap of duality, of liking and hating. But avoiding is not hating. It should be done. It's an injunction. Like we have to avoid getting into sinful activity. That's why the injunction of the four regulative principles are there. It's an injunction to avoid things. It's not hating. It's a different thing. It's okay? Yes, ma'am. We are already about 5 minutes over time, so whoever wants to leave can please leave. And I'll take this as the last question.
Hare Krishna. So I'm just inquiring that, asking that this thing is about the hatred. Now, we don't hate, can we do it like this? Like, I'm attached to my car. Now, I'm too attached. Like, let me be attached to the car. But I start using car, go to temple, put it for temple services, and open it up to all devotees. So will that, can give me the detachment automatically? I'm attached to the car, but still detachment will come.
Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses about two type of materialistic devotees. He says that when he actually discusses about sense enjoyers, he talks about devotees who are sense enjoyers in Bhakti Aloka. So he is discussing about two types of devotees. He says that there are devotees who include Krishna in their sense gratification, and then there are devotees who keep Krishna as center of their sense gratification. Okay? So both are not good. But that's a good starting point. You understand? It's a good starting point. But that it's not that we will remain in that situation. The first thing what we generally do is that we include Krishna in the sense gratification. Which means that, what you explained, that I am attached to my car, let me include Krishna consciousness into the usage of my car. This is the first step. Okay? But that is not Yukta Vairagya. Normally people may think that this is Yukta Vairagya because I am having something and I am using it in Krishna consciousness. Yukta Vairagya means, first of all, you should have Vairagya. Then you go to Yukta Vairagya. You don't go from the position of attachment to Yukta Vairagya. Okay? So I am just clarifying one more principle which is attached to it. So the point is that it's good to start like that. It's good to start including Krishna in our sense gratification. I like gulab jamun, so I make gulab jamun every day. I offer it to Krishna and eat. Because if I don't offer it to Krishna, I am eating sin. I simply want to eat gulab jamun. I don't want to eat sin. So I include Krishna in my sense gratification. This is the first step. Then the second step is that you make Krishna as center of your sense gratification. Which means that I like gulab jamun. I am still attached to gulab jamun. But I don't actively start baking gulab jamun. But if gulab jamun comes as a prasadam in front of me, I cannot stop that attachment towards gulab jamun. I will overeat gulab jamun. You understand? Okay. The second step, that you have put Krishna as center of your sense gratification. But the idea is to give up sense gratification and to transcend. That's the process, that we give up sense gratification. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Balikama Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Nama. This is what Chaitanya Chaitanya Amrita. As long as there is some kind of attachment for Atmendriya Preeti in terms of bhukti, mukti or siddhi. There is always disturbance and there is always chance of rebirth. Because that Atmendriya Preeti Vancha is still there. That I want something for myself among the whole gambit of the practice of Krishna consciousness. I want something for myself. So, Kapiladeva explains this attitude as a separatist attitude. When he is actually discussing about different types of devotees in the modes, he is telling that these are devotees who have a separatist attitude. So, that separatist attitude should be given up. The spiritual master's instruction and my desire should be the same. The spiritual master instructs me to drive a car all around the world, I will just drive a car all around the world. That is what I have to do with the car. When the spiritual master doesn't instruct me to drive a car, I am not attached to the car. But having attachment with the car and using it in Krishna's service is a good starting point. That's what I am trying to say. It's not bad. It's good. It's a good starting point. It's like putting a child in grade 1. You don't expect your son to be eternally in grade 1. You expect him for in grade 1 for 1 year, then he goes to grade 2, then he goes to grade 3. If you don't make this progress, then you have certain way of dealing with your child. Right? So same way, we cannot eternally be in grade 1. Prabhupada says that at least we should come to the platform of Madhyamadhikari. Madhyamadhikari means he clearly knows that Krishna is the object of my love, devotees are my well-wishers, and I should preach to people who are innocent and I should avoid demoniac people. Not hate demoniac people. Avoid demoniac people. Okay? So which means that a Madhyamadhikari, he clearly knows that he has nothing to do with the modes of nature. Okay? Which means that he clearly knows that I have nothing to do with my car. It's a good starting point to say that I will use my car in Krishna consciousness, but we have to progress from that point. Make sense? It's okay?
Or can also, like, I'm not at that point, a point of life will come that I'm not, even I'm using the car, I'm not attached to it totally.
Car is a figurative thing. Car is just a figurative thing.
I'm just using it as a...
Yeah, I'm saying car is a figurative thing. Let's forget car and take sex. Okay? It makes much more sense now. Okay, because you may even give up gross sex life, saying that you may not have an active relationship with a woman. But Prabhupada explains in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that sex life also means attachment to puja labha pratishtha. The subtle sex life. You're not attached to having some relationship with a man or woman, but you're attached to profit, adoration and distinction. That's sex life. Okay? Now take out the car and put sex life. Again, it's the same. The principle is same. Ultimately, we have to give up these things. Ultimately, we have to give up the separatist mentality in Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, I should not be worried that somebody will come back after this class and tell me it's a good class or not. You understand? So, car is just a figurative thing. You can remove car and, like I said, Gulab Jamun. Gulab Jamun is just a figurative thing. Makes people laugh. That's it. But it actually shows everything else. The whole 14 planetary systems. Represented by one Gulab Jamun. Like the position of Indra here. Indra is so attached to his position. That's his Gulab Jamun. So we have to come out of all these things. That's the whole point. It's okay? Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.